Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along. Hello and welcome again to another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. Welcome back. This is our first episode of season two. We are so happy to be joining you guys, and we've got some really exciting things to be talking about with you. So this is Alex talking on the mic. To the left of me is my very good friend, Brian Sealing.
How's it going?
What's up, Brian? Good to see you, man.
It's nice to be back. It is weird having not recorded in several weeks at this point.
I feel like I don't remember how to have a conversation.
Wow, I didn't realize that was a vanishing skill.
No. Whoa, there's a third voice here. Who is that?
Yes, this is Steve. I am third of the mic behind the mic folks here at Conversations, and glad that you are listening as well and part of the conversation. We're excited about season two, whatever that may mean. We're kind of wander down the road together and have conversations as they come up. And so glad that you are part of that journey as well. Today, you know, we're a few weeks into the fall season. We've officially passed the calendar start of fall.
That's
nuts.
Yeah, right? But along with that, at least here in New York, schools have started and are underway, which typically, and this is no different, typically means that school activity is ramping or ramped up. So whether that's after school clubs, special projects with certain classes, and one of the biggest ones is interscholastic sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's at least in our area, that's a pretty big deal for a lot of folks, a lot of families, so much so that kids not only play on the school team, but they also play on the travel team and they go to the camper clinic and they do the other thing to make sure that they can get the spot they want on the school team so that they can get the better spot on the travel team. And it's a little bit of a snowball of activities that seem to ramp up. And, you know, when I was in school, that was a season to season thing. And then in the summer, you kind of just did whatever you want. But I think the landscape has changed quite a bit since I was in school in a lot of ways. But anyway, where sports are now year round and there's multiple sports and kids are involved in a lot. And that's some of what we want to talk about today, actually. What is the correct balance? Is there a correct balance when you see especially young people, but I think it also carries through into adulthood, but what is a healthy balance when it comes to all of the opportunities, options that are available to students these days and even adults, along with the things that are, I would say, more like required kind of foundational things like, I actually do still need to learn math and science stuff, not just how to throw a fastball.
So I'm curious, so are you, we're saying today, like, have you guys seen the impact of like what sort of a typical landscape for a student looks like? What is the impact like? And we're just assuming that maybe the student is involved in all of these things. Like, what's the impact on the family, on that student's life? What have you guys seen? Have you seen this impact families or individual students in a positive way, in a maybe unhealthy or negative way? Have you guys seen any of this played out?
Well, I'll jump in on a positive. So, you know, some of the developments academically that have happened allow students to take advanced placement courses, things like that, where they're actually earning college credit and can then accelerate their education and can graduate from college early, get into programs that they normally wouldn't have gotten into except for a few years later than they are able to now. So some of that I think is very positive. It's providing opportunities for students, especially academically, that I think can be good. But I will say, I think there's more of a slippery slope than there is strong footing. How's that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. As a youth pastor, I see it a lot. We'll start with the positive, because yeah. I think with our intro, we kind of may have shown a bit of how we feel about all of the things that people can have on their schedule. Yeah, another positive is that, it started this way, right? Extracurriculars mm-hmm. are there for kids to express themselves, to be able to learn and grow, to challenge themselves. And it's not just sports. I'm the one here who didn't do many sports. I did do tennis, which I had a pickleball injury about a little over a year ago. And because I was treating it like tennis. Anyway.
I didn't know you played tennis. We'll have to get out there.
Yeah, once my Achilles is back in working order.
All right, very good.
But I did do musicals and things like that. And so that is... We just had a little hiccup in our recording software. And I was saying that even things like musicals, clubs that aren't sports related can still be a big use of your time, which isn't in and of itself bad. I do think it can teach time management skills, which is really helpful for kids. But it can also not be good.
Yeah.
It can teach them to never rest. It can teach them to always have to be doing something, which we know that rest is very important. You need time to be able to have with the people you care about and other stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you mentioned like the artistic side, musicals, plays, and et cetera. One of the things I've noticed is that each one of those activities, whether it's the sports team or the musical or the extracurricular club, they all want their thing to be the thing. And so there's an expectation of dominance or priority. And not every single thing can have priority. Like we understand logically that just doesn't work, right? So that's part of the dynamic that I think kids and parents face when you have all these options, but how do I prioritize that? And I think for some, that's a hard thing to do, and they don't have the skill yet necessarily to do that really effectively for themselves.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And for those of you listening, I hope that you hear we're not raining on the kids should not be in sports or in things that they enjoy. In fact, I think all of us would agree we would encourage that. Everybody should be doing something that is fueling them or something that, you know, that's part of their wiring. Those are good things. But yeah, one of the things that I've seen played out, and there's a guy that I follow, John Deloney. He's a licensed counselor. He's got a radio show that I listen to. It's really good. And one of his things that he's seen in the American family is travel sports, especially, or activities that tend to overwhelm a student's life and schedule. When it becomes to dominate that entire student's life and the family's life, that's where the slope gets a little bit slippery. Mm. And it's following the train of thought, well, if my kid doesn't get on this team and they don't get this position on the team, then they're not going to get this opportunity. Then they're not going to get that opportunity. Then they're not going to go to the college they want to go to. Then they're not going to get the job. And all of a sudden, this 14, 15, 16-year-old kid is having all of this stress and pressure put on top of them. Because they're not going to have the future that they want because they don't get this opportunity that's just all-encompassing. And the thing is most of these situations is the kid is like, but I love this. Like, I love playing. I want to be there every single day that I can. And really, it's kind of on us, the parents, to go, hey, I know you love this, but we also need to be able to be wise about how this is affecting our families. I just hear story after story of the family unit sort of being splintered into pieces because they're pulled in so many different directions. Like, families don't sit down and have a meal together anymore because they're pulled in so many directions. In all of that, you know, from our perspective too, being, you know, we work at a church. So families that are having to choose, like, are we connecting with people in the body of Christ or are we going to another game? You know, I know the argument can be had, well, you can do that anywhere, right? But there is something to be said to have some consistent rest in your life and your schedule. And that's where I see it being a really dangerous thing, especially when you start going, well, it's okay that we're not connecting as a family. It's okay that we're splintered because this is going to lead to other opportunities that my kid's going to have to make them successful. My question is, can they be successful without that? Do they need all that extra stuff?
Yeah, and you're setting them up to, you're trying to set them up for success, but you could be also setting them up for a big, like, hitting rock bottom, like a big moment of that, like, if everything is riding on, we'll use tennis because I played tennis. If everything's riding on their tennis scholarship that you're hoping they get when they started at 9 years old, like if everything's riding on that and then they lose a game, then what are they going to feel? How is that going to affect them? Like it's going to affect them a lot.
Yeah.
And as parents, we should be hopefully instilling in them what's most important in the midst of these things that aren't as important.
And you know, I don't think we're trying to fault parents. As parents, we all want for our kids, right? We want them to have the opportunities. We want them to have the success. We want them to have the growth and the development. We want all of that. That's not a bad motivation at all. And certainly don't fault parents for having desires for their children, right? That's the good thing.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, like if I'm riding and my kids are adult kids, so I'm past this season where I think, I don't know, will he make it to the NBA or won't he? Or, you know, will he get that scholarship? Like there are people that are paid lots and lots of money to find those kids. So it's not like, you know, you're going to have, I don't know, pick, you know, you're going to have I'll pick golf. You're going to have a Tiger Woods who nobody even knows about because that's just not the scenario we live in anymore. You know, parents don't freak out that your kid's not going to be noticed. He's got to have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're probably not making it to the NBA anyways. No, I'm just kidding. No, my son is probably going to be as tall as me, and so there's no NBA hopefuls here. No, I agree with you too, Steve. I think what we're getting at today as well is like there is so much pressure put on both parents and students, right? Mm-hmm. Like when we get so absorbed and overwhelmed by we have to do everything because I want the best life for my kid possible, whether that's sports, whether that's, you know, academics or, you know, other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think anytime that we are running or leading our families from a place of I'm obligated to do this, or I have so much pressure and I'm going to respond to that, I think that's just a really dangerous place to be. Man, I can remember having conversations with parents and students when I was in youth ministry a couple years ago. Students are so stressed out right now. Mm-hmm. And so much of that is like they start listing all the things that they have to do, like on top of just trying to get good grades in school. They, you know, they have all this pressure to perform on the field or on the stage, pressure to you know, do all these things so I can get into college that I want to get to. And it's a lot. And it's so much that I think, you know, can be avoided, but it's hard to because we live in a world where it's always about more. Like, let's pack more stuff in.
It certainly is. And I guess that, you know, to that point, Alex, I think the question that parents need to consider along with their kids at certain ages, like they should be part of the conversation, is what's our goal? What's our objective? Mm-hmm. What are we hoping this will produce?
Right.
Right? Is it, I just want to connect with a group of kids that I'm on a team with and feel good about being a part of that group? Is it, you know, I have to be MVP of Section 5 or, you know, what is the goal and the purpose? And then really, you know, do we all agree that this is the right goal, that this is the right purpose? Yeah. Or is it just, you know, and I'll be very stereotypical, is it just that dad's living vicariously through his kid to, you know, be the star? Like, you know, obviously I say that in a way that that's not what we want. But, you know, what clearly are we hoping to accomplish?
Right.
And especially for parents, what are you hoping this produces in the lives of your children? That's a question we have to ask ourselves, because otherwise someone else is calling the shots.
Yeah.
And if we as parents are allowing other people to call the shots, then we're missing out on an aspect of parenting that we don't want to miss out on. We want to help our kids grow and develop and not turn that over willingly or unwillingly to someone else who may not have our kids' best interest in mind, quite honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's, you have to have that conversation and ask those questions all the time, but particularly before getting into those things. I was going to ask the question to you guys, like, how do we make sure, we've said slippery slope a couple times, like, how do we make sure that we don't slide down that slope? And I think that was one of the answers to that, is that you need to establish what's the goal here. What do we want, rather than just, well, it'll look good if they do a lot. Then you can get down the line and go, oh no, it's been too much. Yeah. Whereas if you say, if they do just one, like, they're going to do the musical, and then at the end of that, okay, you did it.
Right. And there's, because the thing that we don't think about and we don't talk about a whole lot as parents when we're making these decisions is, what's the cost involved? Mm-hmm. Like, when we decide family activities, sometimes we go, oh, we want to take everyone to the go-kart course. We're going to have fun. Well, how much is it? Well, it's $40 a person. Oh, wait a second. That costs too much for what we're getting.
Yeah.
Like, we need to consider when we're signing our kids up for things, what's the cost associated with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it, it's going to be every night 6 to 9 until, you know, from now until March? Is that a cost that we're willing to pay? Is that a cost that we're willing to place on our kids to pay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Alex, when you said, what toll is it taking on kids? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a cost, right? A toll is a cost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we don't evaluate that well enough to really look at that cost and that toll. And, you know, what I've seen firsthand is kids being really stressed, feeling overburdened, feeling a tremendous amount of pressure to perform, and that becoming such a really a negative thing in their lives, to the point where sometimes kids say, I never want to touch that thing again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, Steve, that's so good. And what you said, I think also hits on the idea, just as a family, what is your family value? And then I think it's important to identify that, because it's really hard if you haven't, to, it feels like sort of a floating target, to go, hey, as a family, these are the things that we value, and we do everything out of that place. So I have a friend of mine, he shared this once, and this feels super radical, but he goes, my kids are adults now, and they have since thanked me for standing my ground when they became, you know, teenagers. Was Friday nights were sacred as a family. We did game nights. That was our night after a busy week. We came together as a family. We had a home base. We, you know, that's how we did our check-ins. Like, that was non-negotiable. And, you know, for some people, you'd be like, how could you keep your kids home on Friday night? Like, that's when they're, you know, going to go out with their friends. And they're like, we didn't care. Like, we decided as a family, that's what we are going to value, and that's what we're going to be about. You know, they could go and hang out with their friends, but, like, it was always one of those things. Like, that meant, hey, sports were going to revolve around that. Like, if you weren't going to do travel sports and be gone on Friday nights, like, you were going to be home. And again, there was some leeway there throughout the years, but for them it was like, we needed a night where we had our kids' ears, where we knew that they could check in with us. And he goes, you better believe it, there were times where they're like, we hate this, why are you making us stay home? But later it was like that realization of, Mom and Dad cared enough about us to set some limits on our lives when we didn't know how to say no to things, that we didn't have the capacity to choose that for ourselves. And to look back on that, to go, that was actually really healthy and helpful and kept our family intact. Again, I'm not saying that every family should do that, but you need to, I think, as a family, decide, like, hey, what are we going to say yes to? What does not fit in those values that we're going to just say, you know what, that's an easy no for us.
Yeah. And that's part of the cost, right?
Yeah.
If we think about it financially, things are very clear. Like, you know, like, travel hockey is one of the most expensive things to get your kids into because you're paying for ice time and et cetera. So some families looking and just go, we just can't afford it. Yeah. But they only think about it financially. Mm-hmm. I think I would just encourage families, think about the other costs, the time, you know, what is it taking away from other opportunities, and just have a good balance with that.
Right.
But don't just get down the road and all of a sudden the cost you realize is too much, but you're too far down the road, you know, and setting priorities, as you said, Alex, that's the key to knowing what you can afford, right? If we set a financial budget for ourselves, we go, well, this is my income. This is how much I can afford. Well, could we do something similar with our time and energy and, you know, family time? You know, you only have so much. And so how you choose to spend it, there has to be some priority matrix that you're putting those decisions through.
Yeah. Yeah. Budgeting is huge. I've been on a bit of a kick watching some like financial audit things on the internet. It's always very fun. Usually it helps us feel better because we go, well, at least I'm not where that person is. But a huge thing is time after time, you see these people coming in and just essentially saying, I don't know. I don't know where my paycheck goes. It just disappears because they're not budgeting. They're not looking at it. And it's the same as you're saying, Steve, with our time. We go, where did it go? Why have I not seen my son or my daughter in 2 months?
Yeah.
Because you didn't budget it. You didn't look at it and say, okay, here's the time we have.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're actually using it correctly.
How many times have parents looked at each other and said, where's Johnny? Where's Billy? Where's right. Susie? Like, I don't know. Let's look at the refrigerator. We'll see what their schedule says. Like,
right.
Come on, parents.
Now they've got a,
you're better than
is it Life 360, the parent app where they can track their kids, at least know where their phone is.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, but it's so huge. And that's why it's so important. When you do have that budget, you can then say, we can afford this, we can't afford this. Yep. And it's pretty cut and dry. When you don't is when you can have a coach telling you, well, if they really care, then they're going to be here for 12 hours today, whatever. I was just talking to a student about marching band, and they have huge practices. Sometimes it's a 12-hour day, which if you have the time and you can't afford that in your budget and be able to still have family time in a different day, absolutely, you can do that. But it's when you don't, and you go, where did it go?
I didn't
realize.
I think the other dynamic that we haven't talked about yet is we talked about it a little bit, but what is that producing in our lives, in the lives of our kids? And I hinted that even, you know, this question probably really needs to wander into the adult conversation as well, because and maybe it's more stereotypically guys, I don't know, maybe it's changed, but you know, how much extracurricular activity do we have as adults, and what is that, what's its purpose, what is it producing in us? And I will say that we should have things that we're doing. And you used the word refueling earlier, Alex, like we need things that are refueling,
right?
You know, there's what's the old saying, all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy, or something like
Jack
that.
A dull boy, but
Jack,
yes,
is it Jack?
I believe so.
Jack,
sure,
let's go with Jack. But, you know, and that principle of we need refueling balance in our lives as well. Stuff that we enjoy that helps us out, not just go, 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 give all the time. We need recovery and rest. And so that I think is a question to be asked as well. Even as adults, what is this producing? How is this helping or healthy for me or not?
Yeah. I think that's just a good lens to look through, Steve. I love that. In fact, it's something that Kirsten and I have been talking about as a family. Like our oldest, Emma, is now in kindergarten, and already it's like, oh, we have these things that your kid can do. I'm like, here it comes. And trying to get ahead of that. And so I hope that if you're listening today, you find encouragement no matter where you're at. If you're sitting going, well, we're already neck deep in this, how do we, there's no way we can backpedal now. You can still have that family meeting and go, hey, what as a family do we value? And chances are, especially if your kid is like I was and you wanted to be involved in everything, you're going to get some pushback from your kids.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I can promise you they will thank you, especially having that conversation and going, hey, listen, like we have packed our schedule and we're realizing there are some things that we need to be able to say yes to as a family. And there are some things that we're going to have to let go. Brian, you preached a couple weeks ago about this like analogy of spinning plates, right? It's like, we're not designed to do that, to be able to hold up all these things and keep things from falling and crashing down. Like we need to choose a couple things. I mean, in the context you're talking about, like sitting and resting in Jesus, right? And, and having some priority set. But like, I think you even said it, like we can't do everything. Like things are going to fall. And so we need to choose
right.
those good things, those things that, as a family, that we value. And we need to know what those are.
We get so caught up in trying to look impressive that we forget that we really should be aiming for being healthy.
Yeah.
Having that balance and not doing nothing. Like, absolutely do something, have a hobby, have a sport, have a whatever. Don't let that then become everything and take up everything.
Yeah.
And then you look back on your week and go, man, where did everything go?
Right.
Yeah.
And what did it produce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. As always, we could always have more that we could be talking about. And we meant to go into this talking even more about the adult side of things, so we might have a part two coming up down the road. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, especially ideas for topics that we could be talking about that are meaningful to you, please feel free to email us, podcast@victorchurch.org. Send that on over, and we will check those out. We would love to continue the conversation about meaningful things to you guys. Thanks for joining us today. We will see you in the next one.
See you guys.
Take care.
Bye.